Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with all of you today. We are waiting for Pastor Dave Obenauer to join me on the air from South Dakota. We're going to have them joining us. I know they were just on the Blog Talk Radio, but we're waiting for them to join us on YouTube and on Facebook. So as Pastor Dave is preparing himself, I want to say good morning to all of you. We had an amazing thing happen this morning. And this has been beautiful. This is beautiful. And I shared a little bit about it yesterday. Let me see. I'm getting a little email from Dave. Let me see where he is here. All right. I see Pastor Dave. All right, Pastor Dave, if you can hear me, we are on StreamYard. And StreamYard, you have to come in, and I should see a little box up on my screen, which I don't see yet. I've sent you an invite at StreamYard. And then, of course, come back to the Blog Talk Radio and come join me on that again. I think I see your number there. Let me just talk with you. Dave, are you there right now on area code 605-695? Is that you? Dave, is that you on 695? Okay, so I don't think so. So we're going to wait for Dave to get on StreamYard. We'll be bringing him into the broadcast immediately. But good morning, Sharon. God bless you. I'm getting some instructions. So let's say he's live on both streams, and yet I'm not seeing you on my screen at all. Let's find out what's going on here, why that would be. Good morning, Vincenzo. Vinny Pots and Pans, good morning to you, Vinny. God bless you. We're having a technical issue right now, so hold on 1 second, and let's see. I'm going to send another invite to Pastor Dave at River of Fire. Okay, so I'm going to get that rolling. I'm going to send it again. So, Pastor Dave, if you can hear me, I just sent you another invite to join me on StreamYard. So hopefully you'll get that, and you'll click on that, and it should bring you right into the broadcast. So let's see how we're doing here. So I'm hoping he's hearing me. I just sent you another invite from StreamYard. Just click on the little blue button. It should bring you right in. So we'll be waiting for you. And I'm going to say that just like that. Again, good morning. Pastor Dave Obenauer and his wife, Victoria, are the pastors of River of Fire Ministries in South Dakota. on July 15th. Patricia and I are going to be heading up to South Dakota, where we're going to be speaking on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We're looking forward to meeting with the saints of God up there. And Pastor Dave has invited us to his church. He's friends of our friends, Kathy and Ken Bruns, who live up in South Dakota, who've been a part of this ministry for many, many years and have been just a genuine blessing and have supported the ministry and have been a part of it. So we're looking forward to meeting with Pastor Dave. In the meantime, I was sharing that this morning, some friends of ours, David and Nicole, in Missouri, sent a gift to Patricia and I for $200. And they said, this is towards your RV. And last week, Chandra had sent or came to our church and she gave $55. So we started thinking, wow, people are actually wanting to support getting an RV to get on the road. And so we have received a $255 donation from two different couples, or one couple and then another. And there I see Victoria is getting ready to come live with me. And so we're going to have a fund that we're going to set up for the RV. And I'll talk to you much more about that in just a little bit. But Vinny Pots and Pans, River of Fire, sounds like a Johnny Cash song title. Yeah, Vinny, well, I think we're going to have a great time here with Pastor Dave. And good morning to Sister Cindy. Good to see you, Sister Cindy and Mark. God bless you. I have your guitar from last night, by the way, Mark. And Brenda. Good. Hello, Brenda. I didn't know you were such good friends with my brother in the Lord and elder Rudy. It's good to have you with us today, Brenda. God bless your heart. Sonia, so good to see you. Very good to meet Sonia once again. She's saying hello to Vinny Pots and Pans. And Vinny's been just a real blessing. Donna Frazier, good morning, Don and Donna, all the way from Tyler, Texas. Great to see you this morning. Scarlett Dill, good morning to you, Scarlett. Trust you're doing great today. You say hello to Jim for me if he's not watching. And Misty Antonson, Misty, good morning to you, all the way from Alaska. Good to have you with us here this morning. And let's get going. I'm going to bring Dave on. I'm going to get my headsets going here, and I'm pretty sure Dave can see me. Let's see. Hello, David. Are you there, sir?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you really good. So I apologize for whatever the technical difficulties were, but we'll work them out. Now, Dave, have you also on Blog Talk Radio, have you clicked on the button there so I could bring you on?
Blog Talk Radio. Yeah, I think so.
All right. Are you
on air?
Are you 605?
We got a split screen.
Okay. So are you on 695-6618? Is that your number?
695-6618? No.
No. All right. So to be heard on Blog Talk Radio, I sent you a Blog Talk invite. Go ahead and hit that as well.
Okay.
But I'm hearing you loud and clear.
Sorry about that. Okay. Where do I got
to
go?
Okay. So go to Blog Talk Radio. I sent you an invite. And I could send you another one here in just a moment. So
nope. I got it.
Okay. So go ahead and click on that little guy. And that should bring you both here in just a moment. Praise the Lord.
You should be now, coming.
There you are. I've got you. Now what you are doing, Pastor David Obenauer, you are on live all over the world, and we're hearing some beautiful background music in the back there. You're at a secret place in South Dakota. I take it, sir?
Okay, I got a double echo going.
Okay. All right. So I'm hearing you loud and clear.
Great. We're good then.
All right. Very good, David. So good morning. But without further ado, let's say hello. This is Pastor David Obenauer. He is in South Dakota, River of Fire Ministries. And Pastor Dave, why don't you just greet everybody this morning? Say hello.
Hello, guys. Good morning.
So tell us a little bit about your ministry, about you and Victoria. And what are we getting into going up there in South Dakota? What's going on?
Well, we're not having the riots. We're sitting back, staying in prayer, quoting the word, driving up and down the towns, proclaiming the gospel, reading the gospel out loud over a microphone. And I'm really getting some feedback. It's messing me here.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, we'll work it out.
Okay.
Let's find out why you're getting the feedback, though. That has to be on your end. We're doing good here.
Okay. So when I hear myself, I'm hearing myself. So
It's okay. There's probably a little tune down or a little button somewhere. What we can do, let me see if I could do it this way. And again, I'm not sure if this is going to work or not. Dave, how does that sound? Is that any better for you? Can you hear yourself still?
Let's see.
Okay, now I'm hearing the background. Yeah. All right, so that's brutal. Well, one of the things you can do, gosh, I don't know what to do. I'm about as efficient in technology as you are, so we're in trouble.
Well, my wife will get back here, and she might be able to solve this problem.
Okay, but you're being heard loud and clear. No double echo on our end. So if you could work through it, good morning.
I'm going to try to work through this, guys, so just hang with me, okay? It's weird to hear yourself talk, so here at River of Fire in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, we're actually just 6 miles west of Sioux Falls. We are proclaiming the word. The Bible talks about reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Unfortunately, what we have in most churches today is fluff. It's exhort, exhort, exhort. There's no correction. And when you look at our government today, you look at the school systems, you look at what's going on in our states with the city councils, etc., you can blame the pulpits. Because the men of God and the women of God are not proclaiming the word of God because they're so afraid they're going to offend somebody. And we have to come back to the word of God and proclaim it with all boldness and authority. And as we do that, I think we may lose a few, but we're going to gain a lot more.
So it's all about equipping the saints and getting them ready for the days that we're in right now, right? So if we haven't been doing that, Pastor Dave, we're kind of behind the curve, aren't we?
Greatly. I just taught on this last week. What are you going to do when the people start coming because their food is less? It's not as available. You know, people say they're going to go out in the fields and they'll have their gardens and they'll be safe. They're away from everybody else. But what about Psalms 121 verse 6? The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. And we're hearing on Fox News and there's other alerts about all this radiation in the air that is just cooking things. It's going to cook plants. It talks about burning the skin of men, and yet they won't repent. And so we have people that are being self-preserved or in the interest of protecting themselves, and they don't care about nobody else. And so we have to start realizing these promises of God and start meditating on them, get these things in our heart. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. And so what does that mean? How's the sun going to smite you? I've wondered about this for years. And then God started speaking to me about radiation. And we have all kinds of radiation coming in. The asteroids that will be approaching. It says the stars will fall from heaven, the asteroids, in Matthew 24. Well, some of these are going to be highly radioactive. And, you know, the nuclear plants, Fukushima, it's still leaking. This stuff is all over our coast. The clouds, they're sucking this up. They're dropping it on our land. I mean, it's just crazy. It's crazy.
So as we're moving into these end times, these last days, we're seeing a lot of prophetic events unfold before our very eyes. And the question again is, if you're not established in the promises of God first, then all your other preparations probably will fail. Because the preparation of the spirit, our walk with God, being established in his promises for his protection is primary.
Amen. It really is. And when you look at the word, this double feedback, I have a double feedback going on. How's that? 1 second, guys.
This is a test. This is only a test.
This is only a test. No, I'm still feeding back. Here, why don't you listen to it a second?
Sure.
So for everybody viewing in right now, again, we're online with Pastor David Obenauer, his wife Victoria. We have just met. We have just become friends through Ken and Kathy Bruns up in South Dakota. We're going to be heading up there July 15th, and we're going to be spending time with Pastor Dave, his fellowship. We're going to hear a lot more from him about what his ministry is all about. And he has a prophetic gift and a prophetic ministry, and they've been laboring to prepare. They're one of the churches up in South Dakota that did not shut their doors during the whole COVID-19. We're going to find out why he didn't shut his doors and what they're doing. We're going to look at that very carefully. And Pastor Dave, one of the things that, you know, I was having a conversation today. It's interesting you were talking about this. I was having a conversation today with a friend about this very thing, you know, for people that are preparing. You know, Noah did build his ark. And while the primary position of our hearts is faith in Jesus Christ, knowing that he will take care of what belongs to him, he also gives instruction to prepare and to be wise and to see the storm coming and, you know, prepare yourself and et cetera, et cetera. So these last days, there's so many things we're not really sure how they're going to manifest, what they're going to bring. So if we're not established in the promises of wisdom and instruction are not in our hearts, we're really not going to know what to do in our own reasoning, are we?
No, we're not. And our hearts and minds will fail us for the things that are coming upon the earth. And when you look at the word, if you're not taking this thing serious and you're not embracing it and you're not crying out to God, the first thing we have to do is return back to God and ask him for his fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And without the fear of God, and the churches just don't have the fear of God. You know, what I want to say is, if you walk in a lot of churches, the men right after service or during a service or some kind of function the church may have itself, we're looking back. I won't be able to hear. We're looking back, and as we see these things, they're talking about sports. They're talking about football. You know, the Minnesota Miracle is when they there was a few years ago. The guy made a catch. The guy missed a tackle, and he ran back for a touchdown. They won the game. They went to Philadelphia and got destroyed. They're calling that the Minnesota Miracle. That's not a miracle. And the guys are rejoicing in this, and they're not even into the word. They're not even leading their families. They're not the priest of the house. And where's the correction on this? And yet the churches have opened up themselves to all these idols and gods, which are not gods, that we've made gods. We've walked away. Jeremiah talks about this in chapter 2, where we literally walked away and we made other gods that are not gods. And then we're wondering why things ain't working around here. And when we look at our hearts, we think, oh, well, we're okay. We're okay. No, we're not. That's the power of deception. And listen, Noah, eight of them were saved. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and four, one came out of Sodom, Lot, his wife and two kids. And she looked back because two of the daughters were still back there. How many, and the word says, how many putting the hand to the plow and looking back are fit for the kingdom? God said, I'm not coming when Jesus came. I'm not coming to bring peace. I'm coming to bring a sword. And that sword separates families. And he's going to find out who's serious for Christ and who's not. He said, count this cost. And what we're not doing is counting this cost. We've been told in these churches, come up, say this little prayer, and cry out to Christ. Now you're saved. You're going to heaven. You're good. And that is a lie from the pit of hell. You know, when I ask most people around here, what is the gospel? And I would ask you, what is the gospel? People will tell me prosperity. It's peace. It's good news. It's whatever they come up with. But I never ever hear them say the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We got a problem, and we have a serious problem, because what these people are preaching are another gospel, and it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do I believe in prosperity? Yes. God says he'll bless our hands. Whatever we put our hands to do under his leading of the Holy Spirit, he will cause it to prosper. But when they're giving and sowing seeds to get rich, they got an idol. That's not no God, but that's an idol. Their money's not going to save them. The silver and gold, they're going to cast in the streets. So it's just things that we're not ready for, and we need to get ready for, but we have to examine our own hearts to see if we're of the faith. And a lot of times we will find that we haven't been.
All right. So Pastor Dave, you're coming out with a message that I think most of our listeners are resonating with. Many people that are tuned in right now are disappointed. Their churches have shut down throughout this country in different places. If they do go to church, they have their masks on, their social distancing. And a lot of people are getting more disappointed as the days go by that there was such capitulation because of the fear of the report rather than being established in the promises of God. And so you're one of those churches that stayed open, and it appears that a lot of the mega churches or those kind of churches you were just talking about really are not set for the hardcore reality that this is just a test run for what's coming down the pike. So go ahead and speak into that.
Exactly. If you look at Revelations chapter 1, verse 20, it says the mystery. Now, this is John, and John is seeing Jesus. Now, this is John that laid his head on the bosom of Jesus, and now he's seeing Jesus in all his full glory, and he falls as a dead man. See, I hear people say, oh, I heard this angel say this or this angel say that to me. I never hear anything about them falling to their faces. I just hear all this fluffy stuff, which caused me to question, because when you look at the scriptures, every time an angel showed up, whether it's Cornelius or Saul, with the Lord appearing to him, Saul's off his high horse and falls down. See, our ministers don't have that today. And the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw on my right hand, this is John, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels or messengers of the seven churches. And unto the angels of the seven churches and the seven candlesticks, which you saw in my hand, my right hand, are the seven churches. And he says, write unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. How do you write a letter to an angel? You can't. It's to the messengers.
To the messengers,
now,
yeah.
John may not have understood 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 17 and 21, where we are God's righteousness. So as he's in the spirit and seeing in the spirit, he's seeing white messengers, which he may have thought were angels or may have been translated that way. But he's talking about the righteousness of God in Christ. And when you truly repent, you become that. But all these churches here, watch what happens. Onto the church of the Ephesus, right? These things says he that holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know your works. I know your labor and your patience and how you cannot bear them that are evil and how you have tried them, which say they are apostles and they are not, and has found them to be liars, and has borne and has patience. And for my name's sake, you have labored and you have not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you. Now, if Jesus is saying to us, I have something against you, I think our ears should perk up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But most of us don't, because you have left your first love. And he goes on to say, if you don't repent, I'm going to remove your church or I'm going to close your doors. This test run that they just did, you saw the churches close the doors. There's coming another one. And a lot of these churches won't reopen.
Hmm.
Because they're not repentant, that they don't have that fire. If you're married, when you first met your wife and you chase her, you wanted to be with her, you longed for her. Why is not the body of Christ doing the same for Jesus? See, our lips, our words are right, but our heart ain't there. We don't read the Bible. We don't pray. We don't spend that quality time with God. And I'm not talking spending hours, but we'll come home and sit in front of the television for 3-4 hours the evening. Or on the Sabbath day, whether you want to take that as a Saturday or a Sunday. Here in America, we celebrate that on a Sunday. But that day is to be holy, set aside for the Lord, not for you and your pleasures. We got a lot of things out of whack, and until we repent and examine our own hearts, only few are going to get saved. And this is what we have to get ready for. And as the next wave of these things are coming, like the COVID, when that was going on, the Lord spoke to me, and he actually gave me a word to release to the church. And I told him the COVID is a joke. And it's not coming here, and none of you have to worry about it, and none of you will get it. And none of them have.
Praise God.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Now, whether this thing is real or man-made or a hoax, I don't know. Does it really matter? See, when we look at the word says, no weapon formed against us will prosper, Isaiah 54:17. But do we really believe it? See, how about Psalms 91? What does that look like? Mm-hmm. 1,000 will fall at our side, 10,000 at our right hand. At our right hand, 10,000, but it will not come near us. See, either we're going to believe this word,
amen,
or walk away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'd be better off living a life of sin, and you'd be better off not knowing any more of the word of God. Because knowing the word of God and not acting on it, you are going to be held accountable. And so much more than the ministers of the gospel. And this is where the ministers have to constantly check our hearts. But look right here, it says, chapter 2, unto the angel, the minister of the church of Ephesus, write these things. And he's warning us. And he constantly wants us through the churches. And yet, we don't have to be afraid, because in Ezekiel 9:4, let me turn over there a minute.
And Dave, while you're turning there, Pastor David, the reality is, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, that was written to a church 2,000 years ago, somewhere in Asia Minor. What does that have to do with us?
Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He didn't come to erase the law. He came to fulfill it. In the Old Testament, all you had to do was commit adultery. Today, you look on a woman, you've done it. He enforced it. He strengthened it. He did not come to make the law weaker. He came to embrace it, but he also came to give us his spirit so we can fulfill it. See, when he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, what does that mean? Is it even possible? And the answer, of course, is yes, but this is sacrifice. This is why he said, count the cost. Don't start building this house and then realize you can't finish it. Because it's a commitment. It may cost you your family. It may cost you your children. It may cost you your grandchildren. It may cost you your job. Mm-hmm. But this is what Jesus is after. He is look at the apostles. They didn't die with a whole bunch of bags of money. But what they did do is turn the world upside down. And today, America, every time we had World War I, World War II, any crisis, we ran to the churches. And today, the churches were closed. And a lot of them still ain't open. And the Lord said unto me in 9:4, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that are done in the midst thereof. Do we have any anguish for the lost? Are we weeping for our cities? Are we crying out and asking God to visit these councilmen in our cities that are passing laws that are contrary to the word? See, Timothy says, pray for the president, the kings, all of their authority over us, that we may have a quiet, peaceable life. And we don't obey them until they come against the word of God. When they come against the word of God, we're to rise up. And what have these cowardly pastors done? Close the doors. You know, Jeremiah 12:10, my pastors have destroyed my vineyard. Mm-hmm. You know, in fact, I'll hear Assembly of God pastors. They'll preach on John 15. And we're all familiar with John 15 about Jesus is the vine, we're the branches. And he'll prune. And you know, pruning's not fun. No, when he comes over there, he cuts that top of your head off so you can bring forth more fruit. But here, I want you to notice this in verse 6. Well, I'll pick up with just 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same shall bring forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. When's the last time any of us have walked down the streets and had someone come up and share the gospel with us?
Long time.
That tells you the state of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. If any man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and he is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. See, we'll hear about the fruit, and we'll hear about, you know, if you abide in me, my words, you'll ask whatever you will. But we don't hear much about 6, where we're burned. See, a lot of people are going to be in for a rude awakening. Many, many will say, Lord, Lord, we did this and we did that in your name. We cast out devils in your name. But the bottom line is they didn't know him because they didn't pray. They didn't read. They didn't just spend time with God. We got time for games with our kids. We'll put in hours at work. We'll do all these other things. We'll hang out with friends, buddies, but we won't get into the Word and spend time with Jesus. And he's going to say, I don't know you. You don't want to be there. I don't want to be there. And to be not deceived, we have to stay in this Word, and we have to pray. It's a must.
Wow. Well said. So the Word of God is for every one of us right now, and the call is to repentance, and the call is to examination, introspection, which is, there's nothing wrong with that. And I was sharing with a friend today, Pastor Dave, that while we were talking about, you know, we have a little project we do, you know, people have been preparing, and they do it in such a balanced way. So it's not just this, you know, it's kind of like Noah preaching for 100 years or so while he's building. You know, what's wrong with preparing? I love the fact that people come together, they do projects together. You know, it's a beautiful thing, really, when it's done right. But when this time comes and, you know, things get a little bit tighter, and our character begins to show up. You know, how do we commune with one another? How do we develop this relationship in the body of Christ where people are totally different than ourselves in the natural, but in the spirit, there's a knit tie going on? This is imperative. So how do people actually go back to the gospel, take up their cross, believe in the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ, and he is coming again? You know, how does that affect someone's life?
Well, one of the things that we need to do, if your church is closed, you know, most people will know the strong believers. Start having a house church. That's how it was in the book of Acts. And that's where it's going to again.
Yeah.
And so as we do that, we're going to start developing relationships and we're going to start networking. See, for example, the Word of God says, I will turn the hearts of the fathers back to the kids and the kids back to the fathers. What kind of calamity is that going to take for that to happen? Think about it.
Very good.
See, these older folks are like our grandparents. They know how to can. They know how to grow food. They know how to grow potatoes. What do these young ones know how to grow? Yet these young ones have skills in other sets that grandparents don't have, like the computers, even engineering skills or carburetor, mechanical, carpentry. See, we're going to have to rely on each other again and come together again. So as we start doing these network meetings, coming together, not to hoodwink people, but to see who's really real, who's standing, who's praying, who's coming together. You know, you want to see a real church? Find a church that's praying. The group that's coming together, to pray every week, you start with them. You know, there are churches that have 200-300 people, and they can't even get 10 people to show up. That's a weak church, very weak. And it's not popular to say, but I'm not here to win a popularity contest. I'm here to proclaim the gospel. And, you know, what I find is some of my blogs that I do, a lot of the church people will sit back and criticize me. But it's funny because I'll have bikers. They'll say, I want nothing to do with religion and nothing to do with church.
That's right. But
you're telling the truth. I like that. And so I got these hardcore guys that are making comments saying, hey, that's a good message. But yet the church can't stomach it. See, because how many of us think the rapture is going to come, the pre-trib? That come with a prosperity message, which is another gospel. They said, Jesus wrote, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. It doesn't matter how much faith you have. It doesn't matter whatever you think is that you've been or been taught. See, this American gospel, and I'm sorry, guys, because I'm hearing myself and it helps change my train of thought. But the American gospel is no gospel at all. We have to just cast down everything we've been taught, get back into this Word, and discover Jesus afresh. And follow him wholeheartedly. And so when we're hooking up with these other people, house churches or whatever, that's the remnant. That there's your believers, there's your cores. Because if you were saved with Noah, if you were saved with Lot's Bottom line is how few are going to get saved now. Mm-hmm. New York City, millions of them, 16 million. How many of them are going to be saved? Think, just look around, whether you're in Houston, you're in Australia, Sydney, regardless where you're at, we're in trouble. But yet the good news is God has us marked. And so 7:3, see, prepare and get ready as much as you can. Some of you may not have much money, so you can't do a lot of prepping. We understand that. That's where the body of Christ comes together as the day approaches. But we have to do what we can do, not in fear, but that we may reach many. Some multitudes are in the valley of decision. And we have a chance for this last outpouring to reach a lot of them and to affect them greatly. And our main words to them need to be repent and believe the gospel. Not so much giving them the food. And when we go to give out food, we can't be hoodwinked. See, I hear in the church, well, love is nice. Love. No, we got this doctrine of love, this false doctrine, where we're getting ready to love the devil. Yet Jesus was love, wasn't he? He made a whip. He overthrew tables. He threw out the money changers. He called them snakes, vipers, hypocrites, but he was every bit love. See, we got a distorted view of love. See, love will stand up. See, our Father loves us. He'll correct us. You know, and any time a father corrects a child, you know, it may be grievous to the father if he truly loves his son, but he will correct his son. And so, Father, correct us. And that's why judgment has to start in the church. Amen. And that's what's begun.
Amen. Amen. That is so true. You know, not for drama, but here's a reality of a prophetic event, a picture that I believe is coming in. And I think so many people that are listening believe it as well, talking about New York. You know, they're defunding the police of $1 billion. They took the money away, take away, you know, the protection around the people. And I want to release you into this, Pastor Dave. But what I understand is coming is that there is going to be a great strike against the heart of the United States of America, whatever that great strike is. And people are going to be wandering from sea to shining sea. It's going to be Katrina times 1,000. And when God said these things, Katrina times 1,000, well, what happened in Katrina? Well, people became refugees. People began to move out of the city, walking, trying to find places to go into tent cities and the safe zones, which became a nightmare. And what so many Americans are really failing to recognize right now is that this nation has been caught. And there would be nothing surprising about an event that would cause people to go scurrying and begin their wandering and becoming those refugees. And where will you be when that day comes? How are you preparing for events that are going to take nations by surprise? Where are the people going to be? Go ahead and speak into that.
Well, it's amazing. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he reap. Why haven't most of the policemen risen up that don't believe in the unions? See, the police union has supported the Democratic Party. And what has the Democratic Party represented? I think that speaks for itself. Mm-hmm. And now the Democratic Party has turned around and turned on their policemen. And see, it's all a state of lawlessness. See, if we look at, I'm going to turn over to Psalms chapter 2. I really want you to write this. People, write this down and look this up later and just read the first couple of verses. But in Psalms chapter 2, it says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Now, the heathen are raging. Look at the protesting, etc. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, okay, what are they doing? The kings of this earth? The one world order, the one world government. The kings of the earth take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break his bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. They're here to get rid of us, guys. See, this is the war where Satan, if he's been cast down, or if the angels of the river Euphrates have been loosed, which I think they have, And they're here to destroy one-third of mankind. And so here we're sitting, and it's like all these rulers are doing these things and making the decisions. When President Trump came into office, the Republicans have both the House and the Senate, and yet they didn't do a thing with them. And now they're saying they're gonna. See, most all of them have been compromised. And there's a few good ones out there, and this is why we need to pray. And if you don't like our president, that's even more reason to pray for him. So if we start praying for our kings and our rulers, things will change. But if the church will rise up and pray, things will change. But the one world government is here, and it's trying to take over America. And what are we going to do about it? See, when you have the veterans walking down during a parade and they ran into Antifa and Antifa's trying to disturb them, what did the veterans do? They stood up for what's right and they knocked them out. They literally punched them in the mouth, knocked them out, and kept their parade going. They weren't stopped. Where's our law enforcement? Well, when they're tied and they're told you have to stand down, they can't do nothing. Well, what is that? That's free anarchy. Over the course of 30, 40 years, we've had a layout take place where we've had Christians uninvolved in the political realm, uninvolved in being a teacher. We quit standing up, being involved in politics of any sort, and yet our forefathers literally were involved. They wrote the Constitution. They pastored. And when the brothers needed help up in Boston, well, I can't remember which one it was, but he took off his black robe, the Black Robe Regiment, grabbed his muskie, and said, "Our brothers need help." And this is how this country was founded. And sometimes tyranny has to be put in a place, and sometimes we're the people that have to put it back and take this country back.
So, Pastor Dave, I see the next wave that's coming upon our nation. We've seen two waves in the coronavirus, COVID-19 hoax thing that went on, or whatever it is, like you said. And we've seen the anarchy and civil disobedience to a degree, very mild, quite frankly, to what is coming. And this third wave of the sword of war. And I have been seeing in my spirit that the patriot movement in the United States of America, the militiamen, that we, you know, people that we know, friends that we have, military vets, people that have been involved, you know, warriors, you know, just patriots will rise and contend against this communistic force that has risen within our nation. And, you know, whether they know themselves what they're doing, these pawns that are out there, they're useful idiots to a degree to the leaders of that communistic movement from abroad that are salivating and watching what's going on. So there will be a rise and there will be a clashing. And I do see that sword unsheathed in the United States in our own internal warfare that is ready to happen. And in the mix of that, I do see Islamic terrorism and domestic terrorism rising. Antifa is being known now as a terrorist organization. So are you seeing kind of the same thing where this the next several months we could actually see in July, August, September, the possibility of this third wave rising in violence like we haven't seen?
I would think September, October, November, it will really spike. I think we might have a little bit of a low here, July, August, but I could be wrong. However, what's one of the things that's playing out is when you look at President Trump, when he ran for office, I believe he is God's man set in office for America at this time. And see, for America to get really destroyed or wiped out, we have to come against Israel. And right now we have a precedent, this is good news, that is standing with Israel, that made Jerusalem its capital. And the promise of God is, I will bless those that bless thee, O Israel. And our president has stood and blessed. Now, as far as this peace plan, that's prophecy. So whether he's the one that does it or somebody else, it'll get done, regardless whether we pray against it or not. But one of the slogans that Trump had was, make America great again. And America has taken a demise. But if we look at Revelation 12:14, it says the woman and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle. Of a what? A great eagle. Make America great again. And see, this eagle stands with her for 3.5 years. So could that be the first 3.5 years of this peace plan if it were to come forth? So if it does come forth and President Trump is reelected, we're standing with it for 3.5 years. We may have turmoils in here, and maybe it gets bad. I see a building going on until the people rise up. But I just don't know if the American people are gonna rise up on the two coasts. I just don't see that. I see the Midwest being where the life is and where we will make a stand. And I also believe that God gave me this tongue while we're out in Washington and praying. I don't sing in the spirit, but I started singing in the spirit with our little group that we had there at the hotel room. And then the interpretation came. And this went against what I was literally believing and seeing, because I was really seeing the destruction of America. But the tongue and interpretation was this: my son, I have heard the prayers of my people. I am not done. I am not done with this nation. I will return it to the glory that I intended it to be. Now, what does that look like? I still see major casualties on the coast. Maybe there's a supernatural earthquake that splits America in two. Maybe there's no California breaks off. There's judgments coming. See, judgment's a good thing, but God says, I will turn all nations into hell that forget God. And the majority of America has forgotten God. Now, you cannot say you're a Christian and then believe in abortion or vote for people that believe in abortion. You can't. That's murder. And so how can that be a Christian? See, this is the power of the deception. And it's like, people, wake up. But when you have pastors that are saying, oh, it's okay to be to have homosexuality in our marriages, and it's okay to have a lesbian pastor or whatever, that is an abomination to God. And most of these churches are accepting it. There's a few that are splitting, you know. Wake up, people. Go back to the word. What does the word say? But when you go to Romans 1, it talks about, because they won't acknowledge God. And if you and I don't acknowledge God, we will be given to a reprobate mind. And most of our churches are just that. There's a few of them out there that are good, and there's home churches that are firing up. But I have something to say to some of the people. If you're in one of these churches that close the doors and you're going back there, God forgive you. Why are you putting up with pastors that are sitting back and allowing this stuff? See, they're not pastors. They're hirelings or wolves. See, a true pastor lays down his life for the sheep. But now you got pastors that have sheep. They're using sheep as bodyguards. What? You know, we're all about self and bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. How about God? See, listen, when we get together for intercessory prayer, we do not pray for anything personal. We pray for the persecuted church. We pray for the underground church all over the world. We pray that their faith won't fail them. Whether they're murdered or not, or slaughtered, their families that are left behind, that they would stand strong, that God would supernaturally provide water and food for them. If I was in a cell somewhere and I wasn't being fed, I would hope the church would pray for me. But what we have is we got to, oh, God, bless me, instead of praying for the president, praying for our council, praying for the police, praying for the safety, praying for an awakening. These are the things we need to be praying for. Praying for the schools. Do you know, we were praying for the schools before Joshua's Coffee House was even up in here. And this is where we meet and everything. But we're praying as we're renovating this building. We were praying for the kids for about 6 months. And all of a sudden, the kids would just come up and they walk in and they go, I feel like I'm supposed to come in here. God will bring them if we'll pray. If you'll pray, if I'll pray, God will bring his. He knows those who are his, and he'll bring them. He'll get us together to where we can start working together and being ready and encouraging one another. No, these are exciting times. These are not fearful mm-hmm. times for us. Mm-hmm. Yes, fearful for the world, but for you and I, the glory of God is coming upon us in a greater way. The gifts of the Spirit are going to manifest in such a way. We'll see limbs. We're going to see the dead raised, people being filled with the Holy Ghost and set free. Drugs, nicotines, everything else washing away. Just because, just one word, repent. And this is what's coming for the real church. And we just have to persevere, press in,
ask God for that compassion that he has for the lost. I'll share something with you. You can have a puppy or a dog that you had for years. And when that doggy finally dies, or you have to put him down, you weep. You have a heart. You're moved with compassion. Why don't we have that compassion for the lost? What's wrong with our hearts? Can we really take a good look? Can we take the mask off? See, because we're running around with such a facade. Oh, everything's great when everything's not great. How do you minister to your wife at home? How are you ministering to your children? See, if you don't start in Jerusalem, your own home, you forget about going to Samaria and Judea and the uttermost parts of the world. You start right in your own house. You start right in your own city. Walk the streets. Share the gospel. Pass out tracts. Just minister, because you don't know which seed is going to work, or whether all the seeds will grow alike. But if we don't share the word of God, who's going to share it? And if you and I don't pray for our family that's lost, who's going to pray? The neighbor down the street that goes to the bar? No. So if you don't pray and I don't pray, who's going to pray? Are you going to leave it? Your pastor ain't going to pray for everybody. No, he doesn't even know who's on your block. Are you praying for the people, my friends, that live on your block or live in your neighborhood? Are you praying that God ministers to them? Are you praying for these opportunities where we can sit back and we can have an opportunity to share the gospel with them? That he opens up the doors where you can drop a seed in. Maybe that sometimes you can talk a little more. But see, we have to go back after the heart of the Father. And what is that? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But we're so busy. We can tell you, men can tell you all kinds of things like, how many points a basketball player scored, or how many home runs this guy hit. But can we even quote two scriptures? So we have to come back, guys, and start getting together and get on. Listen, if you want to stay in your church for a while and you're just going to start looking for one, or maybe start developing a home church, then start doing that. Go to your church, but then start one on a Thursday night. Have the guys start getting together. Four of us got together on Thursday nights a few years ago. And eventually it grew from four men to 30. And then all these women started coming, the wives. Because they were seeing the men change. And we're having wonderful signs and wonders, and healings were taking place. People that smoked for 20 years were set free. One gentleman, he had metal plates in his ankle, literally healed. He couldn't walk no more than 10 feet, had to stop. Apathy, a breathing machine, don't have to use that. I mean, signs and wonders been happening. People were getting healed, and some would come, they'd get healed, and they'd leave and never come back. Some would come, get healed, stay for a little while, or their prayer wasn't answered for their family member or something, and then they would leave. But the ones that did come, that God had, they stayed. And as they stayed, we were able to build relationships. Well, the place got too big, so we had to split into two groups. Well, that's how we ended up starting River of Fire Ministries here. And God has been bringing people from 2 hours away, travel time, just to come to hear the word of God, because I'm sharing the word like you, my brother Vincent, and as we share without apologizing for it, and I will share the truth, and I don't care if that gives them the left foot of fellowship out the door and they get mad at me, because when they lay down their heads on the bed at nighttime and they're trying to go to sleep, that's when the Holy Ghost can deal with them. That's how he deals with us. You know, we know that. You know, we lay down if we're wrong. He'll be talking to us while we're trying to go to sleep. So we have to deal with it. So I'll proclaim the word. I'll talk about LGBT. And I'll have people in the congregation. And I've had this happen. As I'm dealing with it, they're nodding their heads, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I said, well, let me ask you something. How about living together? Oh, all of a sudden they got still. And I said, Isaiah 59:2 says, if you regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. So what iniquity, what abominations do we have in our heart? What sport titles do we have in our hearts? You know, Dallas Cowboys, when they're playing, you know, if service ain't going to be over at by 11:30, they dismiss and they let them go downstairs so they don't miss the kickoff. God can wait for the Cowboys. How about the Patriots or whatever it may be, whether it's basketball, baseball? Oh, we're all about our sports. Oh, it's Sunday. We got to go do our sports. But we, God, forget you. See, that's an abomination in our hearts. And God's saying, get rid of these things. And Isaiah 59, verse 2, and Psalm 66, 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear my prayer. And why do you think prayer meetings are so small? Because there's so much abomination, idolatry, witchcraft, stubbornness, rebellion, and we come to pray, but we don't get the sin out of our lives. And this is why God doesn't hear prayer. But yet, if we'll clean our let the God clean up our hearts, and we go to praying, prayers start getting answered. And like people are getting healed, and other things start happening. And guess what? There's a stirring going on and an excitement. And this is what we need to have. But it takes a price. We have to pay that price. God, exposing me, show me what I'm doing wrong. If there's something in my heart that I don't see as sin, that you see as sin, reveal it to me, Lord. I'll repent from it. You know, those men that have pornography issues, you know, it's nobody's business. But I'm going to tell you, you want to get rid of it? You hit your knees. You're hitting your knees daily and often. And you pray and you cry out to God. And you say, Lord, help me with this. You said if I confess my sin, that you would empower me with the Holy Spirit. And I'd be able to break free from this thing by the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's what we need to be doing. But you know what? When you get your favorite sin and your favorite thing comes upon you, do you really want that freedom? Because it's going to cost you something. And that's what we have to get back to. We have to return back to God. We have to return back to living for the Lord, not playing church, but being the church. And that's what God will bring us all together. And regardless what's going on around us, and we'll see it, because one of the things you'll get back when you get serious with God is you'll get your discernment.
Amen. Great preaching, Brother Dave. And, you know, last night we were talking about 2 Timothy chapter 3. One of the things in the last days that people would become incontinent, in other words, intemperate, without self-control, powerless, literally powerless to control any desires in their heart. And then we got into how Samson was playing games with Delilah. You know, we have to be careful about the power we've been given, that we're not toying with it and subjecting it. And the question was, is there a Delilah in your life? Is there anything in your life right now that needs to be talked about or considered? All right, so very, very good. This is the convicting kind of word that's coming out to the body of Christ. In Ezekiel, somewhere, it was written that the people would escape the wrath that would hit their cities. They would make it into the mountains, but they would be weeping and they would be mourning like doves on the mountains for their own iniquity. That, you see, people are not seeing right now what you're saying. We could preach from the top of the rooftops, and unless God convicts the heart, unless there's a willingness to hear, people don't want to see it. The lamentation came for Jeremiah, Pastor Dave, as you know, after his years of warning what would be, suddenly he's walking through the smoke-filled rubble of his times, and he's weeping and lamenting for the loss of his people, for what happened, because the people just would not listen and take heed to the warnings. And very soon, people's hearts are going to begin to ache. People's hearts are going to begin to feel the compunction and the brokenness that is coming with the next wave that is ready to hit this nation and the things that are going to follow. And I hope to God that right now that the people that are tuning in and listening, and ourselves as well, that the ache is already there. I pray the ache and the brokenness is already on operation in our hearts and minds about the things that are going on in this world, because that shows something, that there is integrity. There is a closer walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, because the ache is coming, Pastor Dave. It's coming.
It is. It really is. And, you know, those of us that are weeping and crying now and sounding the alarm without being an alarmist, it's at the point now where we're called fanatics, we're called cults, everything else. But you have to stand on the word, regardless what it looks like. Because if you can't walk now through this little bit of a test, this is only the beginning of sorrows, guys. There is great tribulation coming upon the earth. great tribulation that was never from the beginning of the earth nor till now. And it's going to be here. It's going to destroy most. And yet their stubbornness, they won't repent. And so right now, I think one of the things we're looking for are the believers that have sat in some of these churches that truly love God, whether it's a Catholic church, a Lutheran church, a Methodist, Assembly of God, a Baptist, whatever it may be. Okay, there's a core, I believe, in every group, and they're starving for the word, and they're not getting it from the pulpits. And I believe this is the remnant that God is bringing together. So as we stand and share, that's why I'm saying have these meetings on a Tuesday night, when nobody else is doing it. They don't have any church meetings going on. And let that camaraderie grow. Let that development of the relationships really take off, and they'll come out of those places. And even more so as we see the day approaching. But what's coming upon this earth, men's hearts are going to fail them. And I don't think it's going to be so much us getting attacked. It's possible we get attacked, because usually most of these countries know that we have the guns, and they don't want to come in here because they know we're home. And we have more guns than we do people, I believe. But in the Midwest, and we're going to stand up for what's right. And we're starting to see that now. North Minneapolis, you have the residents there. That parts that weren't burned, 5 miles of it was. 5 miles was burned, businesses. And they're standing out there with their guns, their rifles. And these are citizens, just regular citizens standing there. Black, most of them black, few white. And they got some politicians coming down, the city council members, and they're shaking their hands. The police are coming by and saying thank you, because they're standing up with the police for their own territory. And that's what it's going to take to stop this nonsense. But something else is going to happen, because, see, even if we stop this, God has to judge America for all these millions of babies that have been slaughtered, just been slaughtered. They can't breathe. What about their right? It's like the church is so sick.
Wow, well said. Well said. They cannot breathe. It is sick. And it's double-minded, schizophrenic, bipolar. There's no unity of thought. The Apostle Paul, the apostolic heart of God that was revealed in his ministry, begged the people to be of one mind, one judgment, speak the same thing. We are so separated and divided in so many ways. It's scary. I want to go back to this time of great tribulation that is coming upon the earth, and that God, just as he has been faithful throughout time to tell people like Noah, here's what's coming, here's what you need to do, God is revealing his plan for his people that are awakened. If you're hearing this message right now, it is a blessing. If we're speaking this message, it's a blessing from God that we at least are awake enough to hear it. It is about a gathering together back in the homes. There's something about that intimate place, whether it's your garage at your home or, whatever. It is the gathering together, the breaking away of the organizational structure, the buildings, the edifices, and all of these things, and bringing, the true and genuine ecclesia, the people together to be taught. And I believe while this chaos is going to be transpiring all around us, that there will be houses of glory, meaning the presence of God is going to be in those gathering places. Brother, what we have been seeing is exactly what you just said. Everywhere we go where there's a willing heart for people to gather together, and right here, we have prayer meetings on Monday. We have Bible study on Tuesday, Bible study on Wednesday, Bible study on Thursday. We now have another Bible study on Friday. We gather together Saturday and Sunday. We're doing things all week long, not just to be busy. It is like my brother said today, it's because what we enjoy. We want to come together and hear the word of God. We want to pray. We want to study. We want to learn. We want to get revelation that we've never heard before. We want to hear things that we've never heard before. And so we're gathering together, and these things are happening. What's happening in the midst is people are getting healed. We're seeing miracles begin to happen. So this is God's purpose and plan in the days that we're living in, where people will gather together And this is part of our assignment. And I'm seeing that there's a pastor in South Dakota right now that has the word of the Lord by the name of Dave Obenauer and Pastor Dave and Victoria. I mean, what a time for you guys to be alive, that God has taken hold of you to position you to be in that place. And we can't wait to come up and shake hands and greet each other in the body of Christ here and see what's going on, man. It's awesome.
Amen. Amen. Hey, in Isaiah 62, verse, I'm going to read verse 10. Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the cities, or the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. And you continue reading verse 12, and they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called, catch this, sought out. They will seek you out. You will be a city not forsaken. The churches that have played church, these doors are going to close. We just saw the first warning. And a lot of them are going to close, and a lot of the hirelings are going to run, because that's all they are, is hirelings. You know, we watch a pastor out here with his wife, and we watch him every Friday night walk down to the bar, get their jugs of drink, and bring it back to the house. And because we're sitting, we're in between three bars, the Masonic Lodge and City Hall. So we're right in the smack in the middle of this. And where would God have you? Right in the marketplace,
right?
You know, and we're proclaiming the word. And you know, we get scoffed, ridiculed. But you know what? Count it joy. See, don't be afraid of persecution. If they're going to cut your head off, so be it. See, whether you live or whether you die, you're God's. And we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we love not our lives unto the death. And so we have to look at this. Examine our hearts. Are we the Lord's? Do we really belong to him? So whether we live or we die, we're God's. So let's be about his business. Since we've been pastoring, we've been meeting more friends, real friends, real people of God that are genuine. And they're such a gem. They're a breath of fresh air. And it's like, yes, there are many more of us out there. And I want to give you an encouraging word here. Those of you that are alone yet and you're praying, don't you quit, because your prayers are being heard. Keep praying. You and your prayers are making a difference. I know it may not look like it, but it is, because God hears the prayers of his righteous people. He's hearing your prayers. And if we'll, and the rest of us, if we get the sin out of our life and start praying, we're going to see God move even more mightily than we ever dreamed possible. And this is exciting.
Yeah.
And we are born for this hour.
Amen.
Not the
Amen.
Apostles, us.
Amen. We are born for this hour. Pastor Dave, the book of Revelation, it is a prophecy. Five times it's called a prophecy. And we know that that is the final word of God on this earth. And it appears to me, potentially, that we're in the prophecy. The prophecy has begun. The book has opened. Yeah. And so where I see it taking us, where I see this going, is to literally the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ultimately, at the end, we see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. On the way to that, we see the great tribulation. We see time of persecution. We see the destruction of Babylon, the wrath of God being poured out. We see all of these things. And each one of us navigating or finding our place, you know, where am I right now? One of the interesting things that I have found in this work, and Patricia and I have been serving the Lord for 28 years in full-time pastoral capacity. And one of the things we have seen and witnessed, which has been amazing, is when brethren get together and do more than just go to church, but actually find themselves shoulder to shoulder, rubbing in projects, you know, building things together, you know, jarring, canning. When people get together, you get to see people's personalities come out and how they respond to one another. You know, in a marriage, here we are, husband and wife, we do life together, and, you know, something shows up. And when you get into a larger community of believers where people are actually doing life together, moving houses together, whatever it is, you get to see people in action. How do they respond to pressure? How important is that going to be in these days when God is calling his people to gather together outside of the Babylonian church system and outside of the Babylonian system in the world? What is that going to look like when people are actually walking with each other for more than a month or a few months and into years? You know, what's that going to look like?
When Philip baptized the eunuch, and when they came up out of the water, Philip was gone. I think it's going to look a lot like that. Because he, without the mark of the beast, if you don't take it, you can't buy, sell, trade, etc. I've often wondered about, okay, house payments, taxes, etc. How will all that work? It's a case where you and I, we will be hid, I believe, in the things of God. Because we're marked, in Ezekiel 9:4, we've been marked. And over in Revelation 7:3, it says it again, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. There's your second witness. So we're going to be protected. But as this day is approaching, it's going to be so much fun. It's going to be very challenging. But the thing that's going to make the big difference is yours and my faith is going to be alive. Because faith is heaven operates on faith. We operate on faith down here, and faith works by love. So our love walk is going to be up there. And with that, this is what, currently, this is what I'm watching the book of Revelations. And in the ninth chapter of the book of Revelations, the 13th verse, the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice of the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Now, if you look at the trumps, you have Chernobyl, Wormwood. World War II, a third of the ships burned up. So some of these trumps, I believe, have been going. See, before I used to be under the understanding that all these seven trumps will happen during the seven-year tribulation. But one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So these were signs coming. And I believe this six angels may have been loosed. Turkey, October 8th, the last year, Turkey won in their Supreme Court all the lawsuits to flood an ancient city of 12,000 years old. So they're able to divert all the water out of from the River Euphrates over. Well, that allows the river to be dried up to make ways for the kings of the east. And here, when they were loosed, here's what happened. They were set free for a day, a month, in a year to slay a third of man. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. Verse 17, I saw the horses, and we know the four horses, the red, the black, the white, and the pale green, which I believe represents the Islamic church, because they're green, their doors are green, etc. The New York State building lit up green after the attacks. For them. So the horse is just the vehicle that's used. That's what was used during their day. That's the vehicle that we have to look at it. So when you're looking at these four horses are involved. So these nations are involved, and we got this turmoil and we got this war, but they were loose for a time. The Passover, April 8th, I walked outside. I walked right outside here, and it was extremely eerie. And it reminded me of the time where I just instantly thought about the Passover where the Israel had to be in their houses with the blood on the post. And I thought, this is weird. It was eerie. Well, the next night, Thursday at Bible study, we were talking about it. And Kathy and Ken, while they were in Sioux Falls, they went to visit a friend. They used the same words. They noticed it and they said, this is really eerie. Well, we had another pastor friend that night, of a Baptist church outside, and she was looking around and she said, this is eerie. Something's going on. Interesting. Three witnesses. Well, there's a fourth. The gentleman that I started the Bible study with, he was woken at 1:30 in the morning, and he just was praying and walking through the house, and he heard this noise. It was like a Trump sound or like a roar. And he started unplugging the refrigerator, the appliances in the house, because he thought it was one of them. He finally walked out on his deck and he could hear it. And he said it was really eerie. I believe that's when these demons were loosed. And if the media is not talking about it, but we get so many players moving over the Middle East, and with this, if they're going to annex that land, that may start the war. That literally may start that war. We may suffer some hits here too. We don't know how they're coming, but we know they're coming. The destruction's coming, and the chaos is going to be here. But if that happens, and the peace, let's just say that they annex it, we have a war, people cry for peace, the peace deal gets done, because they're only going to be out there for a day, a month, a year. Well, if this was loosed on April 8th, that puts them into May of next year. Okay? If Trump's reelected, this is just my thought. I'm searching the scriptures.
Sure.
If Trump is reelected at May next year, he's 6 months into his presidency. That leaves him 3.5 years to stand with Israel. Who comes in after that?
Sure, that would be.
Because we don't defend Israel. The last 3.5 years, it's only God defended Israel. So what happened to us then? You know, did we do the peace plan that caused America to be split down the middle? If she split down the middle, all the pipelines and the gas lines, the oil lines that go across America, they're all cut off. How do we get commerce back and forth? If there's a split like that and the coast will suffer massive tsunamis probably, we're going to have some serious chaos. Be ready.
Yeah.
Jesus is coming.
Yeah, amen, Pastor Dave. So the writing is on the wall. I mean, literally, you looked at the buildings throughout this country right now, and you see the writing everywhere, the graffiti. The writing is on the wall. I want to ask you a question, and maybe this is for people that are tuned in right now. And again, this is just forethinking. This is just about, you know, what they did in October when they did their little test. What would it be like if coronavirus came out of Brazil and, you know, a couple of months later, it actually happened. Okay. So I want to ask you a question, because in the biblical thought of things, 45 seconds from now, computer goes down. Our time on the air ends. Throughout the nation, rolling blackouts begin to take place. You're in a neighborhood, you're in your home, you're where you are, you're listening, and all of a sudden gone. Your TV goes off, your refrigerator stops working, your toilets aren't flushing, something has happened, your cell phone is not working, and you're in a neighborhood. And what happens if all of a sudden it's not just your house, but it's your city? It's not just your neighborhood, it's your city, it's your state, and it's not just your state, it's in many states. And all of a sudden, the lights out scenario, we have avowed enemies right now, China, Russia, Iran, North Korea, that are swearing to a Pearl Harbor type attack in the electrical grid area. And so whether or not that'll ever come to pass by them, but it doesn't require them. I mean, software issues, a CME, whatever the case is, where would you be? Do you know your neighbors? Have you been a good neighbor? Have you know, are you prepared to ride out the storm for 3 months or 6 months, whatever? Because what the Congress tells us, what the EMP Commission tells us, is that in this wave of the blackout, 30 million people dead in the first month.
Yeah.
I mean, those are pretty high numbers, Pastor Dave.
And here's how you're able to assure yourself to be able to make it. Let's just say without the EMP or whatever going off, okay, let's just say we have another roll of this rioting take place. It really revs up, okay? They show up to your house. How is one family going to defend one home against 20, 30, 40 people that want to break in?
Right.
I don't care how many guns you have. You can't.
Right.
Okay? So in Bosnia, here's what they did. They had families get together. Because some of those people that were in Bosnia that experienced that, they live here now. And this is what they have shared with me. They said, we've gotten our families together and some friends' families that we knew we could trust. And that's how we were able to hold off families of five trying to come in to take our food, to take our water. And they said, every time you're in a battle, you lose something. So if you're firing bullets, you're down some bullets now. You're going to have to go out and take theirs. And so you can't go out by yourself. And anytime you go out, you have to go out in strength of numbers. There's safety in numbers, the word says, and even so amongst us. So we have to have that group of people where if this stuff happens, if the lights go off, you need, and let's just say your car, most of your cars won't run because of the electronic ignitions. If you got those older cars that have the distributor points or the distributor cap in the points,
mm-hmm.
they'll fire up.
Right.
Okay. So get an older car if you can, or hook up with somebody that does. Start networking. Start thinking about this. And if they're not interested in it, stop talking to them. Even church members and even your family members, because if they're not listening to you now, they're on their own. The word of God says that if in the days that are coming, if you had the faith of even the faith of Daniel, Job, or Noah, will only be able to save themselves. You can't save everybody, not even your own family. So you have to be ready. We have to be ready. See, and that's just wisdom. It's not being fearful, because we're enjoying our lives. We're living. We're going about. We ain't never wear no mask, and we ain't planning on ever wearing a mask. Now, but if another disease or something comes in, you know, and God gives me a specific word where, see, I had a word from the Lord. I don't prophesy. I don't make up things. I'll speak as God gives me something, and only then, and I make sure it's Him. And when God said, this COVID would not come near you, and it never has. And I got people that work in the meatpacking plant, and they closed it down. We're all fine, well, healthy. And so I don't know what this thing is. It seems like a big old joke. But what's coming, we have to network. We have to come together. So you've got to have some kind of signal. I have people coming from different places, fully armed, locked and loaded, with additions, and we'll be able to protect this place. Why? Because it's not about us protecting ourselves. It's about sharing the gospel and being spirit-led in who you're helping. Because there will be those that you will be assigned to help. But not everybody that comes to your door asking for help are you assigned to help. Because, see, remember the thief or the kid that gets his caught with his hand in the cookie jar. He's got the hand in the cookie jar, and he gets caught. He gets whacked. He's, oh, I'm sorry. He's only sorry because he got caught.
That's right.
Why do I know that? Because mom and dad ain't around, back in the kitchen, quietly licks that lid off, puts that hand in the cookie jar, and then the light comes back on, and it's your brother. Hey, what are you doing eating cookies? And you go, shh, and the mom hears that. See, you weren't sorry. You didn't repent. So don't come to my door thinking, oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to hoodwink the pastor. Oh, no, we operate in discernment here.
Amen.
And you need to operate in that discernment, because you're not assigned to help everybody. I'll give you one more example. If you're walking down to Mexico, you're going through Mexico, and you got bags of money, and you're fully dressed and everything, and people are line up on each side, and they will, and they want you to give them something. Mm-hmm. And you can give each one a dollar or $10 bill until your suitcases run out, and you hand them a suitcase, and then you start giving them the clothes off your back, and then you're finally down to your skivvies, and you give your last pair of skivvies away. Now you have nothing to give. And the next people in line will spit on you and curse you. You can't help everybody. You're not called or assigned to help everybody. You have to sit back and hear the voice of God. And you need to practice that now. So if you go in to buy an air mattress and you're in the store and you see the one for $159, king size, but they got a special over here for $79.99. Now most guys will go, I'll take the $79.99 because that saved me $50. Get me some lures. When God's speaking in your heart, you grab get the $159 or the $49. Well, anyhow, you get the wrong one, you blow it up, your guests are here, and the next night they wake up sleeping on the floor because you get what you pay for sometimes. See, we have to learn how to hear the voice of God. And if He says get the $159, you get the $159. If He tells you to get this, then you get the 79. But see, if you can't hear God when it's nice and everything's peaceful around you, how are you going to hear God in the chaos? People, this is urgent times. We have to get serious. We have to repent. If you haven't been walking with God the way you have been, cry out. Say, forgive me, Lord. Give me your fire. See, the Lord said, I'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Ask him for that fire. Ask him for that fire to burn out any iniquity that may be in your heart. You have to ask him for it because he's a gentleman. He will not force his will upon you. You have to ask him for it.
Amen, Pastor Dave. Hey, man, this has been an amazing hour and 20 minutes of just getting to hear your heart and your voice. And I think people are resonating with the message. It's a true message. It's a kingdom message. It's a preparation message. And I want to just real quick, if anybody's out there right now, if you have a question, a sincere question for Pastor Dave, you'd like to just, you know, maybe make a comment on the telephone, the number to call 818-369-0326. 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. We'll bring you right in. If you have a question or comment you'd like to make, I want to say thank you to everybody out there in Facebook and YouTube that's been chatting along the way. Praise God. There's some funny stuff going out there with Vinny Pots and Pans. You got to love it. Pastor Dave, you've done an amazing job, man, of just communicating your heart for the hour that we're living in. And I really appreciate it. I appreciate the fact that you are awake. And you're a student, you're learning, you're a teacher, you're a pastor, God has put you in a position to be a leader up there in South Dakota and wherever else he opens doors to you in Victoria. A final thought from you before we get going here today.
We don't have hours. I believe we just have a matter of moments. Because your life's a vapor, it appears for a little while and then it's gone. There's no mercy. There's no grace, and there's no prayers answered in hell. And yet, many will be there. You have to look at your heart. Get with God, cry out, and make sure you're right with him. See, anybody can hoodwink anybody, but you can't hoodwink God. You can't hoodwink him. Get real with him. You know what you're dealing with as sin. Get it out of your life. I don't care if you have to pray 12 months in a row for 15 minutes every day and you're talking to him about it. But if you'll seek him, he promises to set you free. So get your hearts right. These are exciting times. They're not fearful. But stay right in your heart. And we'll see you soon.
Amen. Pastor David Obenauer, God bless you, my friend. We will see you soon. And hopefully we could do another video chat or one of these programs before we head up in your direction. I'm so looking forward to meeting you and Victoria and your family up there. God bless you, Pastor David.
Amen.
If people want to get in touch with you, they want to check out your ministry. It is River of Fire Ministries. River of Fire Ministries is where you go online. You'll find Pastor Dave and Victoria. Any other way that people could get in touch with you and kind of go through your stuff and see what you've been doing?
That is a question for my wife.
I love it.
She does that technical stuff. Guys, I have a feedback that's still been going. So forgive me if I've had some hesitancy.
You've been doing great.
But the question I have, honey, is the best way.
They can call my phone number.
They can call your phone number, which is 605-376-1508.
Say it one more time.
605-376-1508. River of Fire Ministries at gmail.com.
Amen. All right. I put the number on the screen, 605-376-1508. You can contact Pastor Dave and Victoria. Go to their website, River of Fire Ministries, and you can contact them through riverofireministries@gmail.com. Pastor David Obenauer, shalom, my friend. God bless you. Stay the course. We'll see you in a couple of weeks, man. God bless you. We'll talk again real soon. All right. Pastor David Obenauer, what a great interview. You can hear this man's heart. There's fire. No wonder why they call it River of Fire Ministries. Hello, Patricia Joy.
Hello.
Did you have something you wanted to share and say?
know, I just think it's exciting to have like-mindedness.
Oh, absolutely. You look gorgeous, my love. Hey, I'm going to get going here. I want to say thank you to everybody that's supporting this ministry. God bless you. Again, we're going to be heading up to South Dakota in just a little bit. We'll talk to you more about it tomorrow. God bless. We love you so much. Thanks for tuning in. I hope in some way you were extremely blessed. Shalom, everybody, until we meet again. Right now on Omega Radio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, a roundtable discussion. You're going to love it. Get involved. Shalom.